All right, I'm going to go with this one this morning. Mine's not working. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 10 this morning in Ephesians chapter 2. And if you'll remember, over the past few weeks, we've been walking through a sermon series on discipleship. And we've been looking at three areas of discipleship that help create healthy disciples. We've looked at the importance of gathering. So we need to be spending time together as God's people. We need to be spending time together. It's good for us to be getting to know each other. It's good for us to be building meaningful relationships together. And one of the things we looked at in that particular aspect of discipleship is when we are gathering together, and when we are building rich, deep, meaningful relationships with each other, when we are taking the time to do that, to be together and build relationships together, those relationships become the soil, the very rich soil that we need for discipleship to take place. Relationships are the foundation to healthy discipleship. And so we looked at the aspect of gathering. We also looked at the aspect of growing. What does it mean for us to be not only gathering as God's people, but to then, in those relationships that we have, be growing? It's a very important piece of healthy discipleship. God wants us to be growing spiritually in Christ. This is what we looked at last week. God wants us to be growing spiritually in Christ. God wants us to be learning more and more. As we grow up in our faith, God wants us to be learning more and more. Who is God? Who is He? It's a lifelong lesson, learning more and more about who God is. Who is our God? And then not only that, but who are we in Christ? Who are we as those who have been reconciled to that God through Jesus Christ? That's part of our spiritual growth. That's where we are growing up as disciples. We are growing up as we learn more and more about who God is and who we are in Christ and how that impacts our relationship with God. And so we looked at this idea of growing and what it means to be growing spiritually, not only as individuals, but as we grow individually, we then come together and we build each other up in love as the church. And we looked at Ephesians 4, how this is God's design for the church, that we would be growing up individually, but also that we would be growing up into Christ as a church, who is our head. So we are the ligaments, and as we are healthy ligaments, we make a healthy church that is growing up into Christ. So our spiritual growth is very important to God, and He calls us to it. So gathering together and growing together are two very important aspects of healthy discipleship. And today we're going to look at the area of going. Going. What does it look like for us as disciples to not only be gathering, that's important, but not only be gathering and not only be growing, but what does it look like then for us to be then moving, to be going, to be moving outward? And it's important for us to know as we move into this final aspect this morning that when we go, our going is always with the aim of pointing to the God who sends us out. Our going is always meant to point to the God who saved us. He's why we go. We go because He sends us, and we also go because He's the one that we point to as we go. As God does His powerful transforming work in us, we then move outward to interact with the people around us. You know, at the fall, when Adam and Eve in the garden, they were designed specifically to enjoy God and to worship God. They were designed specifically to look outward from themselves, to enjoy what God had given them, and to worship God, and to encourage each other in that process, to serve each other and to love each other in that process as they enjoyed what God had given them. But at the fall, part of the curse is that everything turned inward. Everything turned inward. Adam and Eve were now concerned about themselves. They were more concerned about themselves than they were about worshiping God. They were more concerned about themselves than they were about serving and loving each other. And that has been the trajectory of humanity ever since. And that is what God comes to redeem, to turn us from looking inward and turning our attention now as redeemed, reconciled people, now turning our attention back outward, back to God, and to love and serve each other. And so that's what we need in mind as we consider this idea of going. Going is us moving outward now to interact with the people around us with the aim of honoring God and reflecting his character in the world around us. And so going outward has to do with the works that we do with our hands, the works that we do with our lives, how we now live out our faith. That is our going. And so we are not called to be people who are saved and then sit still. We'll see this in our passage today. We're not called to be people who are given new life and then hide it. We are called to be people who are given new life, and then we are called to go and do good works because of the new life that we now have. We are called by God who gives us life. We are called to now go and live lives that point to him. So going has everything to do with the good works that God calls us to. And so we're going to look at verses 8 through 10 of Ephesians chapter 2 this morning to give us help us unpack this idea of going. And these verses are really important, because they help us understand the relationship between the salvation that we have and the good works that we do. We need to understand this relationship between the salvation that we have and the works that we do. So I'm gonna start actually in verse 1. These won't be up on the slides until we get to verse 8, but I want to make sure that we go back and grab this entire passage, because it's the new life that we have that God has given us that moves us to go and do good works. So some of this is from last week, starting in verse 1 of Ephesians 2. And I know these aren't going to be on the slides, so you can follow along in your Bibles, or you can just listen and let God's word settle on your ears this morning. This beautiful picture and promise that God gives us about he who is the God who gives us life. Starts like this: "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, God might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Now we come to our verses for this morning. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So the first thing that we see that I want to highlight this morning as we look at these verses here, starting in verses 8 and 9, is the reality and the truth that we are not saved by good works. We are not saved by good works. And when we talk about salvation, what we're talking about, salvation has the idea of being delivered. So when Paul talks about salvation here, we're talking about being delivered from God's wrath toward our sin and rebellion against him. That's what we deserve. We deserve God's wrath because of our rebellion and our sin against our good Creator God. We deserve his just wrath. That is our penalty that we deserve. But salvation is that through Christ, God saves us from the wrath that we deserve. God saves us from what we deserve. That's our salvation. And our salvation, that salvation, being saved from the wrath of God, is not earned or accomplished by anything that we've done, or anything that we are doing, or anything that we will do. This is the main thrust that Paul is giving us in verses 8 and 9. Our salvation is not earned or accomplished by anything that we do. We don't have the power to save ourselves. We don't have the ability to do what it takes to save ourselves. We can't do it. Our works will never be enough. Our actions will never measure up. We are unable to save ourselves from what we deserve. And in addition, in our lost, rebellious state, we don't want it anyway. In our lost, rebellious state, we don't want the salvation that God brings. And so we need to recognize, when we are understanding the nature of salvation, that our entire salvation is not based on what we do, but our entire salvation is the gift of our good God to us. Our salvation is because God has extended to us through Christ mercy and grace when we deserve wrath. And he did that when we didn't want anything to do with him. Paul makes it crystal clear here. In salvation, we bring nothing to the table. And in fact, throughout the Bible, the message of salvation would not only be that we bring nothing to the table, the message of salvation would be stop trying to bring things to the table, because it's never going to be enough. And when Jesus said it is finished, he meant it is finished. The work is complete. And so now we rest in the work that Christ has done for us. We bring nothing to the table. Instead, through Jesus Christ, we receive. All of our works are not enough, but in Christ, we receive all that God has done for us. We receive all of God's work that is accomplished through Jesus Christ. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, he says that in Christ, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that is in the heavenly places. God has not held anything back. God blesses abundantly in Jesus Christ. And actually, Paul's prayer at the end of chapter 1 is that the eyes of our hearts would be open to see the riches that we have in Jesus Christ, because that is where new life starts to produce growth, as we start to recognize all that we have been given in Jesus Christ, that God, our good God, has held nothing back. He doesn't wait until we earn the blessings. He doesn't wait until we accomplish something. God has given us everything in Jesus Christ. And so our salvation rests solely on the work of Christ. We are not saved by our works. But we also see in this passage, while we are not saved by our works, we are saved for good works. We are saved so that we would then go and walk and live out the good works that God wants for us to be doing. Those works can't save us, but they are what God wants us to be walking in. And we see this in verse 10, the last verse here, that God calls us his workmanship. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. God, our God, is a creating God. We can't offer anything to this creation. Our God is a creating God. This verse points us back to Genesis, when God began creation, when God spoke, and whatever he spoke came into existence. He has that kind of power. This verse points us to Genesis, that God creates us, new creations in Christ Jesus. God, workmanship there simply means like a product or something that is created. We are created, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. And we know that this is pointing back to Genesis. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. He says, what we proclaim is not ourselves, but we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. For it was God who said, let light shine out of darkness. That's Genesis. It was that creator God who said, let light shine out of darkness. And the same God who said that has now spoken to our hearts and shown the light of Christ into our hearts. So the same God who created at creation is the God who is now making us new creatures in Christ. Paul later goes on in 2 Corinthians 5:17 to say that we are new creations in Christ. We need to understand that God is the one doing the creating. Because God is the one that makes us new creatures, and then God is the one who gives us our purpose as his new creations. Last week, we looked a little bit at this about how spiritual growth takes place. How do we, as new creatures, begin to grow? We talked about the importance of looking to Christ. Looking to Christ, and if you remember, I used the illustration of the flower that you put in the water with the blue food coloring, and as the flower soaks up the water, the white flower will begin to turn blue because of what it's drinking in. And in the same way, as we drink in Christ, as new creations in Christ, as God's workmanship, as we begin to drink in Christ, and we look to who Christ is, and we look to all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, and we look to all of God's promises that are now ours in Christ, and the fact that when we die, our real eternal life begins. When we soak all of that in, it starts to change how we think. It starts to change our perspective on life. It starts to change not only the way we think, but it starts to change our attitude. It starts to change the way we act. It starts to change the way we prioritize. Our lives start to be shaped by the reality and the beauty and the majesty of the gospel. And in this way, new creatures now begin to walk out their new life in Christ. Looking to Christ as our head, soaking in the nutrients that come from Christ, and then walking in the footsteps of Christ. Maybe we could summarize good works. This is a very, very general summarization, because understanding good works is a very deep study when you look at all that God has given us in his word. But maybe we could summarize it this way this morning. As new creatures called to go and walk in good works, as the gospel shapes our lives, as the gospel shapes the way we think, and the gospel shapes the way we live, maybe we could think about it like this. God calls us to a life. as new creatures in Christ, God calls us to a life where we are loving and worshiping God by loving and serving people. God calls his new creatures to a life where we are loving and worshiping God by loving and serving people. When we do that, as we do that, as we live that out, as we worship and love God with our lives, and as we serve and love others with our lives, we are revealing the character of God. We are revealing the kindness of God to the people around us. We are revealing the goodness of God to the people around us. And if you remember last week, we looked at verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul tells us this is the reason God saved you, that you would become trophies of his grace, that you would become exhibitions of his kindness, that you would become the ones that God is revealing his character through. God saved us that he might show his kindness and his goodness through us. And so as we live out our good works, that is what we are walking in. We are becoming people who reveal God to the people around us. This includes our attitude being shaped in humility. And we're not perfect. It includes repentance, acknowledging before God and before other people that as a trophy of God's grace, I am not perfect, which makes me a trophy of God's grace because I rely constantly on the fact that God is gracious. We rely constantly on the reality that God is merciful toward people who deserve wrath. That is why, that is how God makes his grace and his kindness and his mercy visible in us. Not because we're perfect, but because we so desperately need God to be who he is. And so now, as we grow as new creatures, as we grow, Christ then moves us to go and serve the people around us with the love of God. God calls us, as we grow up in Christ, God calls us to now go and serve the people around us with the love and the care and the compassion and the mercy of God. He calls us to go, and we're going to look at this in two ways. He calls us to go, and we can think about going inside the church, and we can think about going outside the church. We're going to look at these two different categories. What does it look like to be going inside the church, to be living out our faith? What does it look like to be loving and serving others inside the church? And then what does it look like to be loving and serving others outside the church? I want to make a quick note here. I've got these organized into categories because categories can help us kind of think and organize our thoughts a little bit. But I'll try to remind us as we go through that the categories are helpful to think through, but our lives are not organized into neat little categories. And so these will help us think through how we can be going. But really, our lives as God's people are just a blend of these things. There's so much overlap, and you'll see it as we go through. These overlap each other, and we could be doing two or three or all of these at the same time. So I've just organized them in order for us to be able to kind of walk through them. But please don't try to organize your life according to these categories, but rest in the fact that God does these things through us as we live out our faith in a variety of ways. So first, let's look at serving inside the church. What are some ways that as new creations in Christ, as God's workmanship looking to live out good works, what are some ways that we could be loving and serving people inside the church? For one, this would include stewardship. Stewardship of what God has given us. is one of the ways that we love and serve others. So when we think about stewardship, we could think about the time and the energy and the resources that God gives us. Those are gifts from God. Our time, our energy, our resources, those are things that God gives us. When we think about resources, there are a variety of different ways that God blesses us with resources. Giving is one of those. And I want to encourage you this morning that when we talk about stewarding finances and we talk about the budget, I want to encourage you this morning that it goes beyond what you give. Giving is a very important part of how we steward what God has given us. But giving and being involved in the financial side of the church goes beyond what you give. So I want to encourage you this morning that stewarding the financial side of God's church includes being involved in the budget process. This includes talking to ministry teams, being engaged in the planning process, asking questions, voting on the budget that so that God allows us to continue to do his work, and then, in addition to all of that, giving to support the budget. But these are all ways that we can be stewarding the financial side of the church, to be good stewards within this church. But it's not just resources. It's not just finances. There are other ways that we can steward. We can steward our time. We can steward our energy as ways to love and serve each other. This could be spending time, setting aside a time to pray for the church, setting aside time to pray for each other. Could be spending time building relationships together, as we've talked about, the whole gathering piece. Could be coming together as volunteers and working on a project. Could be coming together and volunteering with an event that's going on at the church. There are so many ways that we can be stewarding the things that God has given us, specifically our time, our energy, and our resources. And I wanted to include that this morning because I want to make sure that when we are involved in any of these areas, when we are reaching out and saying, I want to be involved in the budget planning, or I want to be involved in giving, or I want to be involved in volunteering, I want to make sure that we know where that lands. Where does stewardship land? We don't steward what God has given us just for the sake of stewarding well. We don't try to steward well because practically it makes sense. It does, but that's not why. We look to steward well because that is what it looks like to be walking in the good works that God has called us to as his new creatures. It all comes back to who we are in Christ. And so that is why we look to steward what God has given us well. There are other things that we can steward, including our talents and our spiritual gifts. So our talents or our skill set would be things like, they would be based on our genetics, our abilities, our experiences, our training. Your talents or your skill sets would be things that you are able to do, that every human being has the ability to do in some way. God, these are not limited to believers. These are things that God equips us to do as human beings, not just as Christians. And they're different for everyone, but we all have these, and God calls us as believers to use them to love and serve others. So the skill set that you've developed for your career or your hobbies or things that you just enjoy doing, these are things that God calls us to steward well and to love and serve others with. Also, our spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are different than our talents and our skill sets. Spiritual gifts are only given to believers for the purpose of building up the church. God gives spiritual gifts to every believer. If you are a believer here today, you have at least one, but probably a variety of spiritual gifts that God has given you through the Holy Spirit to be used to be building up his church. This is the way that God grows his church spiritually. And there are a lot of these that we could go through, but these would be things like serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, evangelism, pastoring, hospitality, things like that. But things that God specifically gives his people to be used for the building up of the church. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're wondering, what are my spiritual gifts? I just want to encourage you with this. We all have them, and God calls us to be using them, but sometimes there can be some confusion around which ones do I have, or how do I put them to use? So I'm going to encourage you, if you're not sure, please reach out. Reach out to the elders, reach out to a small group leader, reach out to a Sunday school teacher. We want to come alongside you and help you discern what the spiritual gifts are that God has given you. Because part of going, part of walking out our good works, part of living out our faith is stewarding and using the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Our spiritual gifts are very important to God. And he's made them very important to his church. And so it's good for us to know what they are. It's right for us to put them to use. And I want to encourage you to talk to someone, talk to an elder or a leader or a teacher. If you're not sure what yours are, we'd love to come alongside you and help you discern them. But at least what you could do is, and this is Tim Keller's approach on spiritual gifts. He said, if you're not sure what your spiritual gift is, just start looking for areas to serve and find out what you're passionate about. And your spiritual gifts will come to light as you start plugging into different areas and you find out, that's not really for me. That wasn't really for me. But this right here, this what I'm doing right here, I love this. I love this. And then you'll start to see how God has gifted you to build up his church. So those are ways that we can love and serve each other inside the church. Stewardship. Stewardship is a very important way that we love and serve others inside the church. If we consider stewardship apart from loving and serving others, we're misunderstanding the purpose of stewardship. Doing stewardship well has everything to do with loving and serving others. And so that's what we're called to do. We're also called inside the church. Another way that we can be going inside the church is to be disciple makers. It's God's design that the church would be a disciple making place, that disciples would be made in the church. This is the church's responsibility, to be making disciples. And the way that God does that is by, one, making you a growing, healthy disciple. That's what we're looking at. As we gather together, as we grow together, as we go together and we love and serve each other with the love of Christ, as we are doing that, God is maturing each of you as a disciple. But he doesn't want it to stop there. Because the way that God makes disciples in the church is not only maturing each of us as disciples, but then turning us into disciple makers, where we are having people around us pour Christ into us, and then we in turn pour Christ into other people. That's another way that we go and live out our faith in the church. Being discipled by others, and then becoming a disciple maker that is discipling others. There are all kinds of ways that disciple making takes place, from formal settings like small groups and Bible studies and Sunday school to your everyday lives, our everyday lives. But in all of that, we are called to be both being made disciples and being disciple makers. And as we do that, we are living out the good works that God has called us to as his people. And here's the amazing thing. You can see the diagram there on the slide. Here's the amazing thing. As we gather together and we build each other up, we begin to grow. And as we grow in Christ, as we point each other to Christ, as we learn who we are in Christ and we soak in the gospel and we soak in the love that God has given to us in Christ, we then become people who are moved, who want to go and take that gospel and take that love and take that mercy to someone else. And when we do that in the church, when we are loving and serving each other in the church, it calls us back together so that as we go, we are pouring into each other, and it leads us to be a gathering people, and it becomes a cycle where we are gathering and we are growing and we are going, and that brings us back to gathering. And this healthy, this discipleship cycle where we are doing all three of these, we are engaged in all three of these, this is what builds a healthy church, where we are regularly coming together and pointing each other to Christ. This is what we see, a church that is looking deeply at Christ on the inside is a healthy church. And a church that is looking deeply at Christ on the inside, where we are gathering and growing and going and pointing each other to Christ over and over again, a church that is looking deeply at Christ on the inside will become a church that is shining the light of Christ brightly on the outside, proclaiming God's excellencies on the outside. It starts inside these walls, pointing each other to Christ. But the gospel is not a message that can be contained by these walls. As we become, and we are doing this, as we grow up as a church that is looking deeply at Christ, the light of Christ will be shining outside the walls. And so not only are we people who are going and serving inside the church, we are also people who are going and serving others with the love of Christ outside the church. And so to close this morning, I'd like to consider, again, as a reminder, these categories are not this clean and organized in an outline form in our lives. Our lives will be a blend of this. So we trust God to do his work and to move us. As we are gathering and growing and going together, we trust that God will be doing his work. But for the sake of clarity and organization, I want to look now at how can we be serving the people outside the church? How can we be going and serving the people outside the church with the love of Christ? One is through missions. Missions. So missions is generally described as sending the gospel message outside the walls of a church with the purpose of making disciples somewhere else. And so one way that we can be involved in going outside the walls of the church is to be involved in some way with missions. And the church is called to be involved in missions because it's part of making disciples. One of the ways that we can be going outside the walls of the church is to be involved with missions. Now, this could look like becoming a missionary. God calls people to become missionaries and to actually leave their local church and go and either plant a church or become part of a church somewhere else, come alongside a church somewhere else with the purpose of making disciples somewhere else. So one way we can be involved with missions is becoming a missionary. Another way would be through just supporting missionaries. We do this through the local church when we give and we have support for missionaries worked into the budget. It could be a trip like the one that's coming up next year where we go and visit a missionary. That's an encouragement to the missionaries. That is an encouragement to the people that they're serving. It could be through praying. That's another way that we can be involved in missions. Or it could just be through encouragement. You know, when we have the Meet the Missionary mornings and we have the missionaries that we support as a church come, there's usually some time in between the time when they're sharing and the worship service where you have an opportunity to go and talk with the missionaries that are here. That's an encouragement to them. And so this is one of the ways that we can be involved in taking the gospel outside the walls of the church, to be involved in missions in some way. Another way is through evangelism. Evangelism is generally defined as proclaiming the gospel with the aim of calling someone to believe in Christ. Proclaiming the gospel with the aim of calling someone to believe in Christ. And so there are all kinds of ways that we could be involved in this. There are all kinds of ways this can look. It could be formal opportunities where we go on a trip where we are it's organized, that we're going to be sharing the gospel with people. We're going to be calling them to faith in Christ. Could be organic relationships in our communities where we are having a conversation with someone, and if we're aware and we're listening, God opens the door for us to enter into evangelism, to share the gospel, and to call someone to believe in Christ. Evangelism is another way that we can be involved in taking the gospel outside the walls of the church. Evangelism is another way that we can be going as God's people, going and serving others with the love of Christ. And then finally, to look at this morning, a final way that we can be involved in going outside the walls is through what we would call outreach. And maybe we could think of outreach as simply expressing God's love to the world around us in a variety of ways. Expressing God's love to the world around us in a variety of ways. Sometimes this turns into a disciple-making opportunity. Sometimes this might turn into an evangelistic opportunity. Sometimes this is simply loving the people around us by serving them well with the love of God. Caring for them with the kindness and compassion of God. We're all called to do this. We're all called to be people who are shining the light of Christ into our particular corner of the world. That's outreach. God's light shining in us and then through us to the corner of the world where God has placed us. That's our going. Our going, our living out our good works, is shining the light of Christ into the area of the world where God has placed us. This includes our families. This includes our workplace. This includes our community, all the way down to our day-to-day interactions with people, that we would be known as a people who are reflecting the character of God in our day-to-day interactions. All of this is how we go. Inside the church, stewarding, disciple-making, outside the church, missions, evangelism, outreach, loving others. This is the life that God has called us to be a people who are not only gathering and not only growing, but also going. And when we have all three of these working together, when we have that discipleship cycle moving, God is doing a powerful work in and through his church. When we are gathering and growing and going together, Christ is revealing the power of his gospel message inside the church and outside the church. And this brings our God glory. That's healthy discipleship. I used the illustration of the tricycle last week, this idea that if one of the wheels is missing, we'll be working really hard to try to get anywhere. And so I think it's helpful for us to close this series to maybe just reflect back on that and realize or embrace the beauty of God's design, that all three of these working together are what make us a healthy church that becomes a lighthouse to the people around us. Let's pray. Father, we readily admit that we are so frail when it comes to living out our faith, when it comes to walking in the good works that you have given us to do. So often, we look inward. So often, we are more concerned about ourselves than we are about others. So often, we are more concerned about ourselves than we are about you. So often, we are shaping our lives around what we want, instead of shaping our lives around the gospel. So often our going has to do with building our kingdoms rather than revealing and expanding yours. So Father, I pray that you would forgive us for how often we get this wrong. And thank you for your patience. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for making us new creatures in Christ. And I pray that you would help us to understand the reality of this new life, the magnificence of this new life that we have in Christ. We are so rich in Christ. And I pray that it's this new life that would move us outside of ourselves. Lord, would you move us as your people? Would you continue to move us as your church to be worshiping and loving you by serving and loving others? Would you continue to help us be that kind of church? Help us to grow in those areas. Help us to grow as a church that is gathering together. Help us to grow as a church that is growing together in Christ. And help us be a church that is going, living out the good works that you've given us to do, both inside and outside these walls. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.